Now, I don't know where they got the idea of communicating the gospel with high school students. This is not a seminar at all on witnessing. We can get into that if you want, if we have time. But I'm going to deal mostly with how to put together a talk, how to communicate Bible study, how to make your presentation to high school kids colorful and clear and concise and all that stuff. All right, any questions so far? So if you want to change seminars, I don't know where they got that title, but it's hard to say what back room it came from. All right, now, first of all, let's get negative for a minute. What are your frustrations in communicating with high school kids or with students in particular? What are some of the things when you sit down to say, well, now I'm going to put together a talk, a 45-minute Bible study or whatever, what are some of your frustrations? Yes, sir?
Well, some of mine are I have to watch some of my words, you know, going through college and stuff. I get some of these big, long words, and they don't quite understand what I'm talking about.
I'm afraid you'll be over their head.
What's the word you just wrote down is?
You know, you youth workers, look up. There's hope. Over their head, all right? Heads. There's probably more than one head in the room. Unless you're referring to a restroom, and then we're out in the hall. Okay. Over their heads. What else? When you come to communicating, now think of some of the frustrations you've had. Yes, sir.
I really enjoyed the teaching and devotions, but I had a real problem. I'm trying to get across a spiritual truth, and I use an analogy, and I have some quick-witted kids that can get in there with a hilarious pun right then, and ruin it for the rest of the night. And it keeps the discussions interesting, but to say the least, but it's frustrating.
Overreaction to your right. Audience one-liners and so forth, okay? Got the audience one-liner. What else?
Kids with about a 30-second attention span. Yeah.
Which is about 30 seconds or 15 seconds less than adults. 30-second retention span. By the way, a lot of guys say, well, I'm just working with kids, but I've really been called to preach. Ever heard that? I'm working my way up. Well, to begin with, not with junior high. Can't make the same with junior high, but high school are as bright mentally as they'll ever be. Let's start there. Which means anything that an adult can get, they can get. And even better in some instances. Now, they may not be able to handle it as well emotionally, but mentally they can get anything an adult can get. Secondly, if you can communicate to high school students or junior high students especially, but junior high and high school students, friend, you communicate to anybody. The same principles that make you a good speaker with a good communicator with high school kids will make you a good communicator with anyone. All right? So that's why it's just so exciting to speak to high school kids, junior high kids. I was a youth pastor for almost 2 years with junior high kids. That's how I started. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to me for communication. The only other thing that helped me more was when I was in the debate team in college. But those two, the debate team, then being thrown right into junior high work. The back-to-back experience is the thing that has helped me the most to become a halfway decent communicator. All right, what else? They don't have much of a retention span. Got to keep mixing it up. Anything else? Any other frustrations you find?
How much detail? Part
of going to
detail.
Okay. Depth or detail, either one. How deep can I get? How much detail can I get? All right, what else?
Establishing a rapport with a new group you're not familiar with.
Okay, establish rapport with a new group. You've got about 3 minutes to do it. We are told, I've read. And when you come on to a new group, they're mostly watching your eyes, your facial expressions, to decide whether they're going to like you. They're also listening to find out whether they're going to like what you have to talk about or the subject. I'll often have this. I'll do an assembly of 2,000-3,000 kids, and I've got 3 minutes to pull it off. In some cases, even less.
Oh, hum attitudes.
Okay, we're going with a much deeper thing, but that's true. It'll show up when you go to speak to them. The ho-hum attitude. I like to call it the so what attitude. See why it's so tough to reach high school kids, but junior high kids, but if we do, we're really going somewhere. Almost every high school student has the attitude, so what? And he'll give you about a minute to see whether that applies to his life. If it doesn't apply to his life, he throws it out. Of course, the difference between working with junior high and high school kids is they'll let you know they've thrown it out. Adults won't. Adults will still look at you and go, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Inside they're going, mm-mm, mm-mm. So they have a so what attitude. Anything else here before we get into it? I just want to make sure we know where our needs are here.
Handling criticisms from the kids as they possibly disagree with something that you've said. Maybe they disagree in a way that you've maybe not even thought it out in that particular area, which shows lack of preparation. But anyway, I think that's a problem. It has been in the past for me. Disagreements or even questions sometimes that they have.
All right. Okay, we pretty well put our frustrations down. Nobody even put down this one, but I'm always struggling with this one. I struggle with illustrations. Illustrations are one of the most important keys to communicating to anybody. And I am forever looking for illustrations. I mean, I'd crawl across the country for one good illustration. I'd shoot a guy to find out what it's like to be a murderer. You know what I mean? All right, what makes a good speech? What makes a good presentation to high school kids? What are the components of it? I don't know whether these are in good order. Here I am telling you how to communicate with bad order. But number one, you must have color. Number two, you must be simple. Show me any great evangelist who's talked to the masses and moved them, and I'll show you somebody who is simple. I mean, Billy Graham's outline seldom changes. He has too many points, but he's gotten by with it over the years. So simple, however, you can't miss it. Want to hear a bad speaker? Bill Bright. Carries on ethos alone. 81 points. He's not simple. I'm just being candid with you. Get struck dead. Is he colorful? Is it simple? Does it take scripture and explain it? Does it illustrate? Is there good illustrations in it? Is it concise? And this is where a lot of us get in trouble. I'll spell concise. Is there application? Is there a project? You see any I'm missing there? Then there's secondary things. I shouldn't say secondary things, but is there a good intro? We could spend hours on this working on some talks. Is there a good intro? Is there a tight conclusion? Well, your conclusion should pretty well tell them what you've told them and then spin into something that you want them to do because of what they've heard. So when they feel they've walked away with the whole picture, it's wrapped up for them nice and neat. High school kids have to have it for them nice and neat and clear and laid out, or they get confused and frustrated and they quit. Actually, I'm sure you've heard this before, but a good presentation is like a painting. Usually when you look at a painting, you don't know why you like the painting, but you just do. Little do you know that the artist is putting all different colors, all different techniques in there. Little things that make it good. Show me a good speech, a good presentation to high school kids, and I'll show you all of these things put together. Okay, now let's go over this list for a second. In fact, let me take you over one of my talks. Let's go to love chapter. Let's do the love chapter one. 1 Corinthians 13. By the way, it's a great series. You ever taught the love chapter? We better define these things before we go any further. What is color? Anybody know what it means, color and presentation?
Variety.
Yeah. What?
Variety.
All right, variety and word usage?
Humor.
Descriptive words. For example, I'll just take a section out of one of my talks in Romans, the 5th chapter, How Much Does God Love You? The Bible says that we are hostile. Now, what does it mean to be hostile? Well, hostile means two things. First of all, it means to be unlike God. Pretty heavy, huh? Unlike God. Godless. Now, what does it mean to be unlike God? Well, did you know that you and I are made in the image of God? Do you know that God designed you to look like God, act like God, think like God? So the people will look at you and say, yay, God. There's color there. People look at you and say, yay, God. You ever seen the illustration with color? You ever seen the picture or the statue La Pietà? That's the... Michelangelo did that. Mother Mary, holding child, wasn't really Mother Mary, it's a statue color. Several years ago, some wild Hungarian, now I've just said a wild Hungarian, went berserk, took a sledgehammer to the statue. Perhaps you remember that. Knocked in his face, knocked off her arm, didn't do her foot any favors either. Color, humor. You look at that statue, did you say, did Michelangelo still make that statue? Oh, yeah. Still worth millions of dollars? Sure. Still beautiful? Sure, in parts. Color. But it's all scarred up. Did God make us? You bet. Are we still worth millions of dollars? Much more. Are we still beautiful in spots? Sure, we're made in God's image, but we're all scarred up. Pride has done it, envy has done it, bitterness has done it, hatred has done it, lust has done it. All these things have done it. And the Bible says we are ungodly, ungodlike, hostile to God. Color. You think color comes easy? It comes more natural for some of us. The easier it looks, the harder the guy worked. I want you to know that. So what I do, and I'm rambling now, you just have to sort of catch this stuff, but what I do is I spend half of my time on a talk. I spend about anywhere from 12 to 15 hours on a good talk. Not all of them, but usually about that. About a half of it is in research. The other half is I write out every word. And then I keep saying, how can I make it more colorful? How can I make it more simple? I write so what over the top of every sheet of my legal pad. And every paragraph I read and go back to so what. And if the high school student can say so what to what I just said, I throw it out. And I struggle color. Now, it comes fairly natural to me by now. It comes fairly natural to some of you. You don't have to be funny to have color. Remember that. Humor can work against you if you have too much of it at the wrong times, or when you try to have it, it's not you. But everyone can have color. Here's very serious color. Did you know that when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, the Bible says in Isaiah 52 that you could no longer recognize Him as a human. He looked like hamburger. It's color. It's gross, but it's color. It's true. Okay? Got to have color. Any questions off that? I'm just going to drop these things here and there as they come to mind, and I want you to ask me questions about them or make a comment on them. Okay? Okay, how do you keep it simple? Keeping it simple means you have a good thesis. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 for a second. I'll show you what I mean. I haven't really... It's in our manuals. You guys seen our manuals? Some of you are asking about them. I brought a few. We'll start selling tomorrow. But we've written these manuals in high schoolizing some of these things. All right? I have laid on the floor and pounded on the floor, so frustrated trying to make it more simple. Because what happens is you go into... You take theology and try to make it as simple as possible, you run the risk of heresy. You see what I mean? Just be very careful. Believe me, you look at this and say, wow, how'd they do this? I don't know. I prayed and prayed and we just worked. We worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. And then we're still not sure to make it colorful and simple. All right, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. I hope you guys use a lot of scripture when you talk. Do you? One time I asked my father, he's a successful communicator. I asked him, I said, Dad, what makes you a successful communicator? Well, there are several things make him successful. But he said, well, son, the one thing that I do is I use a lot of scripture. He said, I don't hardly move without either quoting scripture or alluding to scripture. He said, I want you to go study Billy Graham, which I did my senior year in college. I listened to one of Billy Graham's crusade talks, 27 different verses. Now, of course, you wouldn't always want to cover 27 different verses. He's topical and he's moving. Either he quoted them or alluded to them. That's where his power came from. We think that we don't have to. We can just not use Scripture and get power. Forget it. See, the problem with so many youth speakers is you've got the guys who know the Scripture but can't relate. You guys, the guys who can't relate, don't know the Scripture. And to get the balance between the two is where the power is. And there are very few of those around. You can be one of them. All right, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. And let's see if we can't, and I'm ad-libbing, I haven't done this for a long time. Let's see if we can't put together a good thesis. Let's look at it for a second. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mystery and all knowledge and have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Now if I give all my possessions to feed the poor and I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. All right, thesis. Now this thesis is going to be the question, the statement that tells it all. Tells them what we're going to tell. Tonight... I'm ad-libbing. We can tighten this up. By the way, I've spent as much as 45 minutes to an hour on thesis statement alone. Tonight, we want to see how important love really is. Is that a fragment? Something wrong with that? Tonight, we want to see how important love really is, and without it, we are nothing. All right, that's all the more I want them to walk out with. And now I'm going to spend the next 45 minutes making that so clear that when they walk out, they know love is so important that without it, we are nothing. And of course, I would say nothing. And with my voice inflection for color, for emphasis. All right, now that's my thesis statement, and I don't want to get away from that. All right, for example, let's make three points out of it. Point one will be verse one, point two will be verse two, and point three will be verse three. Pretty creative, huh? Okay. Point one. Being the best talker in the entire universe without love, but without love, makes only, we need to work on this, a terrible racket. That's color. Racket. R-A-C-Q. No, that's tennis. Racket. Being the best talker in the entire universe, but without love, equals a terrible racket. That color there. Clear, concise. Probably a lot of us get the problems of rambling. You cannot ramble. Why is Billy Graham so good? Can I tell you why Billy Graham's? Every word counts. Plus, he speaks rapidly. Now, don't try to be what you're not. But usually the more rapid a speaker, think of how fast their DJs go. Hey, you're the girl, that's your life, child, you're fine, no life, it's the uglies. They got it. So when we don't know what we're doing and we haven't really prepared well, and we go, well then forget it. All right. Being the best talker in the entire world, but without love, makes only a terrible racket. That needs work, but that's a pretty good idea. All right, now we're going to, see, we got without love in there, right? And without love, we are nothing. All right, now this statement is supposed to lead back to this thesis statement. We don't want to wander from that thesis statement, because that's what I want them to walk out with tonight. That's all. All right, now, let's take a look at the verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Say, hey, how would you like to be the best possible speaker in the world? Not only could you speak clearly like the angel, or like every man does, but you could speak every language. Every language possible. And you were a better communicator than any angel. Knew every language in the world. All right, illustration. Back in Paul's day, the Greeks. They so wanted to speak well. Speaking was the number one sport, or one of the biggest sports in that day. Did you know that? They would go down and take pebbles. And they would put them in their mouths. Color. And they would work on articulating even with those pebbles in their mouth. And people would come from miles around and gather to listen to a fluent speaker. So if you were a fluent speaker in that day, you're like a great movie star. And so when Paul turned to these people in the church of Corinth, and he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, the best possible speaker, you could speak every language. Of course, he's referring to the charismatic people there too. But Paul said, what could you, would that be important? Let's say you were the best possible speaker on your campus, and you were asked to give an hour presentation on why Jesus Christ is real. Do you know that if you could go ahead and do that, and do it, but didn't do it with love, you would have flopped. Not only would you have flopped, but the Bible says right there in verse 1, you would come off as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, what does it mean, noisy gong or clanging cymbal? Did you see what I just did? I gave the verse, and now I'm going to explain the verse. I'm defining words, am I not? Now, I'm doing this, you know, almost naturally now. But I define what it means to speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I illustrated it, defined it, I colored it, didn't I not? And I applied it. Okay? But do not have love. By the way, somewhere in here we'd have to define love. Would we not? We'd have to give a quick definition of what love is. And by the way, what is a good definition of love at this point? We can't give it all, but...
doing all you can to see that God's best is achieved in your loved one's life.
Something like that. Giving?
To the basic.
Giving to another. We haven't worked on this at all. Selflessly. With his needs in mind. And not expecting a response, huh? Not demanding a response. How's that? See, what I'd do before I'd actually do all this is I would get all my commentaries out around me. I put them all around me, fan them around me. I get a legal pad. I write out verse 1, and then I go to the commentaries in the Greek. I use the Greek. You can too, even if you hadn't had Greek. And I go and I make sure everything is defined there. Everything is clear there before I start writing. All right? Tonight we want to see how important it is. Okay. Being a good rep.
Dawson,
yes?
Do you go through the whole thing and get an idea of what you're going to do in the whole thing, or do you just like to start with verse 1?
No, I would research verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3 and have the whole thing researched before I start to write. Okay? And I use heavy on commentaries. I really do study. I really want to know what the Scripture says, because I can illustrate something, but if it's not really what the Scripture says, I've illustrated a lie. You can illustrate clarity, you know? So I want to make sure that they know exactly what that passage says. Exactly. By the way, as I said, any of these things apply to your church, right? To speaking to adults. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love... Okay, and what is love here? Well, love basically means this, to give to others in a selfless way. With their needs in mind, and not expecting a response. Now, we'll cover this more in depth, what love is. As you know, Paul uses verses 3, or 5, 6, and 7. Or 4, 5, and 6, and 7. To go on to explain what love really is. But let's just use that definition for now, alright? I could be the greatest speaker in the world, but if I do not have love, self-sacrifice, not expecting a response, I will come out a terrible racket. In fact, I will come out a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, what does that mean, a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal? I'm defining again, am I not? I just used question to get them to think. What does that mean, noisy gong? Okay? Let's see, what is a noisy gong? In the Greek's day, they had this great big rock that they had when they would want to call people in. They would take it and hit this rock, and it made a terrible sound. Just bong! It would echo. And it was... Have you ever been asleep at camp? Didn't get to sleep about 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning? About 7 o'clock, they wanted to get you up. And they started ringing that bell, and that bell was only about 20 yards from your cabin. That is what we mean, noisy gong. And what you want to do more than anything else in the world was get rid of that bell. It was a noisy gong. What is a clanging cymbal? Have you ever heard somebody put two cymbals together, try to hit them, when they don't know what they're hitting? Or they don't know how to do it? It will make you shudder. I don't know whether I can do it. That is a clanging cymbal. That is color. Have them all chew on tinfoil for about 3 minutes. All right, color. I said, now you think about it. You think about going and sharing your faith with somebody and not doing it in love. And what those people hear is not what you are saying, but that terrible sound of blackboard coming down. You think about going and straightening out your parents in some area where they have failed you. Do you know that you could be dead right and you could be so articulate in telling them? But if you didn't do it in love, all they hear is that bell going off. You ever heard a fire alarm in your school? they won't turn off. You're going crazy. You would go over about as big as a stuck horn outside of a convalescent hospital at 4 o'clock in the morning. Color. All right, are you starting to see the gist here? A little bit of what we're talking about? Any questions as to how far we've gone? Anybody see the application there? Where was the application?
Relationship with parents.
Parents? Witnessing? You could do some more, couldn't you? Any relationship. Dating? And when you go to apply, you better think high school. I write, so what, and think high school at the top of my script. And I am forever thinking high school.